Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Thank you for being here. We're just so grateful that you're here. Welcome. Welcome also our YouTube viewers and podcast listeners. Just to give a bit of a background so that you know what's going on, we started this series 3 weeks ago because the idea of guardrails is important, not just on the highway where it can, you know, the guardrails can protect us from going across to dangerous territory, keep us in line, but we need to set up guardrails in life as well, because a lot of your heartaches in the past, a lot of your disappointment were probably as a result of you don't put guardrails in your life. And we want to prevent future disappointment, future heartbreaks by setting up some guardrails, relationship guardrails. And today we're going to talk about financial guardrails. So young people especially, it's important that you listen, because you know you are still new at this, you still have a chance to have a fresh start. But for some of us, it's not too late, right? Whatever happens in the past already happened, but whatever is in the future is still within our control. So it is important for us to pay attention this morning. And we have the awesome James Bryan speaking to us. He's one of our own. He's a CEO of Lit Different, father of two, husband of one. And he's a fantastic speaker. So why don't you welcome James Bryan.
Thank you, brother. It is great to be here. 11 o'clock. This is the very first time I've come to the 11 o'clock service. I feel like I've kind of come to a family reunion. You know, where you meet all those relatives that you never knew you had. That's what I feel like is going on right now. Like, I'm like, I don't know any of you, but we belong to the same church family, so it's great to meet you. As Daniel said, I own a company called Lead Different. We work with individuals and organizations, anything from a stay-at-home mum or dad who wants to increase their influence or leadership ability, all the way through to companies like Woodside, RAC, Telstra, some of those kinds of organizations. And we work with them, basically helping them discover how they're gifted to lead and how to increase their abilities in leadership. Now, before I go on, I've been told I talk really fast. If I talk too fast for you, I'm sorry. But like Daniel said, on YouTube, you can go back and watch it, and it watched it like half speed, and it may make sense then. So I'm not going to slow down. You just need YouTube. Anyway, so that's what my company does. And so this series of guardrails is really fun. I'm glad to be here. Last week was like Daniel got to talk on sex, which was fun. And I was like, oh, you give me money and you get to talk on sex? That's not fun. No, it's really great to be here. But this week, I was meeting with a lady, and she's a marketing guru. She works with, helps companies get their message out and find their customers and then connect them with their customers. And so she was talking to me, and she said, well, who do you work with? So I told her, I was like, well, anything from, you know, the students. So we've worked with some high school students all the way through to executives at these big multinationals. And she said, oh, cool, it kind of sounds like everyone. And I said, maybe. I said, let me ask you a different question. Who won't you work with? I said, oh, that's a good question. I said, I've got two groups of people I won't work with. The first people is a group of people, I'll call them selfish people. And this is more than just like the person who takes like the last biscuit or whatever. You know, they got biscuits out in church and you watch their kid walk up and take the last one and you're like, that was my kid. But it's not that kind of selfish. The kind of selfish that I'm talking about is people who are willing to trample over others to get what they want. They're willing to consume other people and see people as consumable just to get what they want. And they don't care who they hurt or who they run down to get it. That's the kind of selfish that I'm talking about. That's the first group I won't work with. The second group I won't work with, well, I will, but I find them frustrating. They're called what I call foolish people. These are the people with so much chaos in their life, and they cause a similar kind of destruction as what the selfish people cause. But they don't know why they're doing it. And they're constantly saying things like, I guess, I don't know, it just kind of happened. And those people are frustrating to work with to try to develop them as leaders. And so this series that I love, this series about guardrails, is awesome. Because what this series is, it's the opportunity to discover, how do I avoid being selfish and foolish? What is the path that I can stay on that I avoid destroying others by my selfishness or by my foolishness? And not just destroying others, but by destroying ourselves. So today we're going to talk about guardrails in the area of money and financial, which is awesome because the first thing that I did when Daniel asked me to speak on money is I went to the Google machine, because it's not a computer, it's a Google machine. When we don't know what we want, we go to the computer and we Google things. And so much so that my Google machine is actually made by Google. It's a Chromebook. But so I went to the Google machine and I typed in money. And the first one of the first things I found was this survey that was done, and it was done globally, and it broke it down for each country. But what it said is, this is the information it gave me on money. The number one cause of stress globally is money. How many of you would agree with that? Like, yeah. Number one cause of divorce, you know what it is? Not infidelity. Money. That's crazy. So, another survey that I looked at said, what topics do we want to avoid the most? Do we want to avoid talking about the most? The first topic, have a guess. Money. Do you know what comes fourth on the list? Religion. So guess what we're talking about today? Money and religion together. Thanks, Daniel. No, it is. This is a real pleasure to talk about because, like I said, this is a massive cause of stress. And so hopefully today, when we get to the end of the day, we've got some tools and some ways of thinking that help us deal with the stress that comes from talking, from the idea of money. So, if this is your first week here or you don't come to church often, one of the things that might be kind of like freaking you out is like, oh, I came to church and they're talking about money. Now he's going to ask me for money. Okay, here's the good news. I don't work for this church. So when I talk about money with you, I'm not going to ask for your money. Unless you want to come employ me to work with you in your leadership capacity, and then I'll do that. No, but this morning, I'm not going to ask you about that. And I think it's a great thing, and it's a courageous thing that Daniel's done to ask someone who doesn't actually work at the church to come and talk about church and money. So that's why I'm here. So if that is one of your concerns, you think I'm going to ask you for money, it's not going to happen. But why does this church talk about money? So why do we talk about money? There's a simple reason. Because Jesus did. Jesus talked about money. And not just once or twice. Jesus talked about money a lot. In fact, this is what I found out when I was doing some research. Out of the 38 parables that are recorded in the Gospels, 16 of them were concerned about money. That's a pretty high percentage. I'm not good at maths. Does anyone know what percentage that is? 40-ish percent. Let's go with 40-ish percent. Is that right? I'm getting some funny looks. Whatever it is. All right, 500 verses on prayer in the whole Bible. There's 500 verses on prayer. Less than 500 verses on faith. 2,000 verses on money. This actually was hard for me to read because I was like, what? Why is that? This is not how I understand Jesus to be. And so then I had to ask the question, well why did Jesus talk about money? Why would Jesus talk about money so much? And then Jesus actually tells us. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, he says this, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Oh, because here's what I do know. Jesus cares about our heart and who we are. And that was his number one thing. And Jesus, because he's really smart, knew that if you want to talk about our heart, he was going to have to talk about money. And that's why Jesus talked about money a lot. That's why Jesus brought it up all the time. So Warren Buffett, anyone here heard of Warren Buffett? Dude's worth over $80 million. He's given $30 billion away to charity and humanitarian causes. This is a quote from our good friend Warren. He says this. He's kind of summing up a little what Jesus says here. What money does is magnify you. Whew. Money gives you the chance, if you're a slob, to be a huge slob. Can you imagine how that works? You know, like if you want to sit around and do nothing but you've got billions in the bank, you can do that. Yeah, that's what that means. But also, on the other hand, if you're inclined to do good things, it gives you the ability to do a great many good things. This is why Jesus talked about money and the heart. See, Jesus, I don't think, cared about money that much. I don't think he really cared. I mean, he didn't collect it himself. He didn't go around asking people for money. He didn't go seeking it. So I believe that Jesus actually isn't interested in your bank account, but he does care about your heart and who you are and who you're becoming. Not only that, so this series about guardrails, where when I first thought of it, I was like, oh yeah, I can talk about how to set up guardrails around the area of money in your life. But I thought about it a little more and I was like, wait a second. What if money is a guardrail for our life? What if we could use money to figure out where our hearts are headed and what is going on in our heart? See, we're often, it's a very weak statement. I am really good at fooling myself. Are you good at fooling yourself? It's a human trait. We're amazing at it. If saying, oh, I'm this way, and you ask people around, they're like, they're nothing like that. They're nothing like that at all. But we're good at that. But if I look at my budget, it's actually going to give me an indication of where my heart is at. And so I would say, I'd put it this way. Your budget is the barometer of your heart. See, I was kind of curious as to what a barometer is. And then I figured out a barometer is actually used not just to tell what's happening now. Barometers are used to predict the weather in the future. So it's not just like a thermometer where it's like, hey, it's like 31 degrees or whatever it is today. It's like, oh, but tomorrow it's going to be cold and rainy. And that's what your budget is. Your budget is able to indicate where your heart is heading. So money can be a guardrail for your life. So what I'm going to do in a second, we won't do it yet, is I'm going to put up two budgets on the screen. And I'll tell them to do it in a second. But what I want to do is, because remember, anyone here the last time I spoke at this church? Was there anyone here? Nope. Excellent. You guys aren't scarred. So the last time I did, I had everyone standing up and like going crazy for different groups of people supporting them and loving them. It was kind of fun, but scary for people. But because I like, if I'm up here talking about money, this is uncomfortable for me, right? Like, people, you guys apparently don't want to talk about it according to all the surveys, and yet here I am talking to you about it, but you don't want to listen. So here's what we're going to do is you're going to get uncomfortable too. And you're going to have to talk to people around you, which is like, ooh, I don't like them. Like, that's your wife, man. Like, no, just kidding. Whatever it is. But what you want to do is talk to the person next to you, and what we're going to do is we're going to look at these budgets, and we're going to just compare and contrast and find out what we see about the different priorities that people have. It's not necessarily good or bad. It's just, what are they prioritizing with their life? And get an idea of who this person might be. So let's put these budgets up. So we've got Dan's budget and Mike's budget. It's not really their budgets. Last service, I had a few people come up to me afterwards a little worried. It's not really their budgets. This is someone else called Dan and someone else called Mike. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk, have a look at them. We're going to play a little music while you have talking, thinking music while you do that. And just talk to people around you and say, maybe just the person next to you because that's easier, and say what you notice different about their budgets and what different priorities these people have. So let's play a minute of thinking music while you guys discuss and figure out, and then we're going to talk about the different priorities in this budget. Let's do that now. I had to. The minute is up. How do we go? How do we go, people? Other than enjoying the beautiful Jeopardy music. All right, what can you give me? What can we tell me about Dan, not Pastor Dan's budget at all? Dan, what do you think of this Dan's budget?
He likes to eat.
He likes to eat. Where is that at? Eating out. My goodness, he does. I want to hang out with him. I like to eat too. What else do we notice about this Dan's budget? Tell me some stuff. I'm hearing whispers. Let's go loud. Just yell it. Embezzlement. Is that what you said? Oh, investments. Sorry. Investments. Yeah, okay. So he's got he's contributing a large amount towards investments. So what do we think about that? That's thinking about the future, probably going to retire early maybe. That's a goal. What else do we notice? No. Okay, so no tithe. Well, there's very little giving of anything, really, is there? Is there giving there? Where's? No, there's no giving there. Yeah. Selfish, okay, yep. So I definitely wouldn't work with Dan. No, just kidding. So it's pretty selfish. All right, what do we notice about Mike's budget? Nothing for the future, right. What else do we notice? All I hear is someone loud with courage.
Netflix.
He what?
He likes Netflix.
Yeah, I like Netflix too. What's even better is you get your little sister, hi little sister, and you steal her Netflix password. This is called frugal budgeting. What else do we notice about Mike's budget?
He's got no investment.
Nothing invested, yeah. Yeah.
He does have potentially $500 worth of savings per period.
Okay, yep. He's also paying way less for his mobile, so he's got a better mobile bill than Daniel. He's got the same internet provider. Yeah, so he's got $500 in savings that he might be saving, but he hasn't actually got a plan for it, does he? We don't know what might happen. He might just spend it on more travel, because I like Mike. He's got putting money away for travel, $500 a month. That's fantastic for entertainment and travel. But it's amazing. Do you get what I'm saying now? By looking at this budget, you get an idea of who these people are and what their priorities are. And so someone said it. Remember the two kinds of people we were talking about before, the foolish and the selfish? No giving is selfish. Nothing for the future. No real safety net planning. Foolish. Yeah. It's amazing how we can figure these things out. So your budget is both it's a warning and a prevention for these areas of your life, being foolish or selfish. And there's a really simple formula how to get over this too. It's a really great formula. And it's so simple that you probably even know it. So let's put that formula up now. Give, save, live. Anyone here heard that before? Yeah. Yeah, give, save, live. It's the idea that give beyond yourself. See beyond who you are and what's happening in your little world. But then save because, you know, rainy days happen. And you don't know what's happening in your future, so it's nice to have something there. And then you live off the rest. This is really smart, really basic advice. In fact, I would say that most people in Australia have heard something like this in their life at some point. At some point. Yet, do you remember the first thing I told you that I found out about money? It's our number one cause of stress. So, what does that lead me to think? While we know this, very few people live this. Would you agree with that? Yeah. So why would that be happening? See, I think the cause of this goes beyond what we do with money. And what I think is this next slide. What we do with money flows from how we relate to money. How we relate to money. And so you're like, money is just a tool. It's an inanimate object. Yes, but you think about it in a certain way. You engage with it in your life in a certain way. And what we do with money flows directly from that. And so this morning, we're going to explore how we relate to money. And so it's this idea of finding out what our relation with money, that comes from this, how do we find out how we relate to something? It's by the questions that we ask. And how we relate to it. Questions reveal what's going on. So my relationship with my wife, the most important question that I ever asked her was, will you marry me? And that began the definition of our relationship. And so it's the same. How you relate to money, we can discover it is from the questions that we ask. So in order to find out what questions we're asking, we're going to do something that we do at my company. We say, look, we're going to have a get curious about it. We're going to read some stories and get curious about it. So in order to get curious, we have what we call the curious pose. So, if you're right-handed, we're going to do it together. So, Buckle up, people, if we're going out there. Here's what we're going to do. The curious pose. If you're right-handed, put up your right pointer finger. If you're left-handed, put up your left pointer finger. If you're both, well done. but if then you grab it and you put it firmly on your chin. And you say, we're all now curious. And that's our curious pose. Thanks for playing with me, people. So, we're going to explore a few relationships here. The first one is found in Matthew 25, verse 6. So it's going to be on the screen. You don't need to turn to it in your Bibles. And it's this. Let's read it together. And I'm going to read fast through some of it just because we got some stuff to do. So when Jesus was at Bethany, a guest of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him and he was eating dinner and anointed him with a bottle of very expensive perfume. When the disciples saw what was happening, they were furious. That's criminal. This could have been sold for a lot and the money handed out to the poor. When Jesus realized what was going on, he intervened. Why are you giving this woman a hard time? She's just done something wonderfully significant for me. This is the important part. That was when one of the 12, the one named Judas Iscariot, went to the Kabul of high priests and said, "What will you give me if I hand him being Jesus, over to you?" They settled on the price of 30 silver pieces. He began looking for just the right moment to hand Jesus over. So Judas, what's the question that he's asking in this moment? I want to put it that this is the question that's running through his head. It's this: how do I get mine? How do I get mine? You see, Judas, while he was one of the disciples, he was the treasurer, so he had an important position within the disciples, in the group of 12. He's just spent 3 years hanging out with Jesus and the disciples. They've become tight. These guys are like a family. They bicker like brothers and they fight, but they love each other and they support each other. And what's amazing, they're so tight that the Passover, which is when the Last Supper happened, that was called the Passover, which is when you go have that, you do that with your family. You celebrate with your family. The disciples and Jesus, you know what they did? They had it together because they were a family. They'd created family. And in that very moment, Judas gets up, walks out to go hand over Jesus and destroy that family. This is someone who's asking, how do I get mine? And I'll do anything to get it. Not only that, 30 pieces of silver. Anyone know what that is worth in modern days? It's about 5 weeks' wage. That's it. You can't even retire on it. He was willing to destroy his family for 5 weeks' wage. Forget the friendships, the relationships. He sold it all out. And you might never be that desperate for money that you're like, I will sell my family out and I'll destroy my group of friends just so I can get 5 weeks' worth of money. That might not be you. You might not sell out your friends to make some cash. But what about strangers? What do you mean? Okay, so we all like getting toys and cool stuff and tablets and clothes. And we want to get the best bang for our buck, right? Because, you know, if I can get that cheap, then I can get another one as well. Ooh, I can get two jumpers now because they're both so cheap. Here's the question that's worth asking, especially 5 years on from the collapse in Bangladesh of those clothing factories where people were forced to work in inhumane conditions and weren't paid a living wage. Ooh, see how this is getting awkward now? Would I trample on strangers just so I can get mine? Would I trample on people in developing world countries so I can get more? Yeah. This is a real thing. And I'm hoping that this is something that as a community, as a faith community, we can actually begin to think about these issues and go, is that ethically sourced? All those kinds of things. And we begin to ask questions and we can get past this idea and move on from being people who ask the question, how do I get mine? And we move on to the next question. And the next question comes from this. It's from Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. Another day, a man stopped Jesus and asked, once again, I'm going to read really fast. Another day, a man stopped Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" Jesus said, "Why do you question me about what's good? God is the one who's good. If you want to enter the life of God, just do what he tells you." The man says, "What in particular?" Jesus said, "Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, honor your mother, father, and love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said, "I told you I can talk fast. I've done all that. What's left?" And here's where we go to the interesting part. If you want to give it all you got, go sell your possessions, give everything to the poor, and all your wealth will then be in heaven. Then come follow me. That was the last thing the young man expected to hear. And so crestfallen, he walked away. He was holding on tight to a lot of things, and he couldn't bear to let go. So, what question's going on here? I'm the only one. Hey, you did it. Thanks, brother. Here's the question. Who am I without it? You see, this guy is referred to as the rich young ruler. And I like to think that maybe the writers of the Gospels wanted to give him a shred of dignity because they all knew he was, because they knew he was a ruler, and they knew how much he was worth financially. But they'd never name him. I feel like maybe they were like, yeah, remember when that guy? Well, let's not put his name in there. But he's a rich young ruler, and everyone knows that. And here's what I know about people who rule. You need money to be in power. Right? There's not a lot of homeless people you see in Parliament. You need money to do that. So if you give up your money, what happens to the power? It's gone as well. So here's, we got a guy, and he's the rich young ruler. But if we take out the rich, we lose the ruler. And we're left with young. And that's all he was going to be left with. And that question that eats him up and how he relates to his stuff and his money is this: who am I without it? So his question for you then, we all have a bunch of stuff in our life, and it's nothing wrong with having stuff, like Jesus owned clothes. But maybe the stuff that we have in our life still has a hold on us, where our identity is behind it. You're the guy who has the new iPhone. You always have the new iPhone. You always have the new MacBook. You always have the new, you got the notch in your iPhone, whatever, the iPhone 10 or whatever. Or maybe it's, you're the guy with the really cool Jordans. You've got the Jordans in all three colorways or whatever it is. I don't know anything about sneakers. but maybe you're the guy who has the bespoke suits and you always look really nice. Maybe you're the guy who drives a BMW or the guy with the Rolex. And these things become a part of our identity. And what God wants to do is he's saying, I want to know you, but in order that to happen, it happens in one way, that you become my child, and that becomes your identity. Does that make sense? And this rich young ruler, faced with that, is like, oh, sounds good, can't do it, I'm out, peace. And we move on to the thing, because actually, let's not move on. There's a question I want to ask, because it's hard for me. So it's going to be hard for you, and I like doing that. if you were to face-to-face with Jesus, and he walks in, he's like, hey, guys, what's going on? You're like, wait, whoa, this is weird. But then you say, Jesus, I want to join in with what you're doing on this planet. I want to know what you're happening here, the way you're changing this world. I want to join you. I'm with you. I'm 100%. And Jesus says, you're cool. I want you to sell your car, your watch, your phone, your laptop. Can you do that? The question that I have for you is, could you and would you? Are you willing to be child of God, and that's it? So Zacchaeus, I want to read the story of Zacchaeus because this is where the next question comes from. So let's put up the story of Zacchaeus from Luke 19. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him being Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of all my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. First of all, Zacchaeus had to have been extraordinary with money. I don't care how many people he was ripping off. To be able to afford to give away half of what you own and still have enough to left over to pay everyone back four times what you ripped off them, you're doing some seriously good investing. I mean, that's like getting in a Bitcoin at like 50 cents and then selling at 20,000 kind of investing. That's the level that this guy's doing. So he's good with money. Here's the question that I think Zacchaeus is asking, though. Because what happens, here's how we know, what happens to a community when the poor all of a sudden have access to half of the wealthiest man's wealth? What happens to a community when everyone has been screwed over and ripped off, and maybe it's to the amount of like $5,000, and Zacchaeus comes up and he knocks on your door and he says, I've been screwing you over, and I'm so sorry. Here's $20,000. What happens to that community? And this is the question that Zacchaeus is asking. How can I serve? You see, Zacchaeus met Jesus and he answered that question. Yeah, I can be just a child of God. I can give all this stuff away. And I'm willing to do that. And the question then becomes, how can I serve? You see, who Zacchaeus is in that moment and who he's becoming because he's met Jesus become drastically different. And who he was becoming of a lonely, isolated, selfish man is no longer. You think everyone wants to be friends with him after giving away all that money? I would. Assume you would too. And his whole future is changed. But then I want to talk about another favorite story of mine in Luke chapter 21, and it's this. Just then, he, being Jesus, looked up and saw the rich people dropping offerings in the collection plate. Then he saw a poor widow put in 2 pennies. He said, the plain truth is that this widow has given by far the largest offering today. All these others made offerings that they'll never miss. She gave extravagantly what she couldn't afford. She gave it her all. And here's the question that this widow is asking, and I think this is beautiful. She's asking, how do I make it count? How do I make it count? You see, this is a lady who, in the face of scarcity, doesn't hoard. She asks the question, how do I make it count? In the face of poverty, she still wants to make a difference to the very last drop. Her answer isn't, oh, I want to spend it on myself. I want to hoard it. Her answer is investing it into the kingdom of heaven. And so maybe that's you this morning. You're like, I can relate to that woman. Zacchaeus, not so much. Rich young ruler, not so much. But the poor woman, I can relate to her. Maybe that's you. You're a uni student or high school student. High school. I remember being poor in high school. But maybe that's you. But this is such an important question. And see, this is the fun part of the morning where perhaps you're thinking, oh, he is going to ask us for money after all. Well, no, I'm not. And there's 3 reasons why. Remember that first reason? I don't work here. So I don't care if you give here. Well, actually, I do because I belong to this church. But like, you know what I mean. So I'm not going to ask. The second reason is this, that I'm not going to ask you money right now. It's too late. We've already done the offering. I can't ask now. But the third reason is the reason that I'm really excited to talk about money today. It's because Jesus cares about who you are. And this church cares about who you are. Jesus cared about your heart. And Jesus cared about who you are and who you're becoming. And this church cares about your heart, who you are, and who you're becoming. And there's a future that Jesus wants for you. And it's beautiful. And it's extraordinary. It's an invitation into doing what he's always been doing on this planet. Bringing people into a relationship with God. And working in people's lives to make them better. Their relationships. Their families. Their communities. This is what Jesus is inviting us to. In fact, in the Bible, it says that we're invited into a future that we can't even imagine or begin to compare to. But there's a problem because there's 2 groups of people, in fact, who can't get there. The selfish and the foolish. Because this future with Jesus invites us to become his child, the child of God. And that's the future that God's inviting us into and Jesus is inviting us into. And that's why we talk about money. Not to do collections, but because we know it's attached to where our heart is at. So this morning, I don't know where you're at in your journey, what question you're asking. You might be asking, how do I get mine? You might be asking, who am I without it? You might be asking, how do I bless humanity? You might even be at the point where you say, how do I make every last drop count? But I do know that it's a journey. And it begins by finding, just as Zacchaeus did, that without it, you are God's child. And so if you want to investigate what that means to be known as God's child and begin that relationship, I want to encourage you after this service, go to the connection lounge, the guest lounge, come up and talk to anyone that you see standing up the front. But this church is part of Jesus' invitation into that. Or maybe you're already there and you're discovering what it means to ask that question, how do I make it count? And that's why we gather here every week, to explore that together. I'm going to pray for us now because I love asking God for things. You might think, well, why doesn't James close his eyes when he prays? Because when I pray, I expect God to do good things and I don't want to miss it.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.